Good morning. Welcome to All Things Jessam, and I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be talking to a young lady named Dora Johnson, and her parents was Bill and Sharon Reynolds, known very well in our community. Sharon was an administrator of the Rose Terrace Nursing Home. She was a longtime nurse for a doctor named Dr. J.S. Williams, and most notably, she was the coroner of Jessam County. We're going to talk about her and her life and her husband, Bill, right after this word from our sponsor, the Farmer Bank of Jessam County.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessam County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville, and they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here, still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessam County. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank, equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessam. Glad to have you on this Saturday morning as we continue to talk about people, places, and things of our county. And today we're going to talk about a couple of people who are well-known in our community. He well-known, her maybe a little bit more, only because of her involvement in some things. So this morning we're going to talk about Bill and Sharon Reynolds. We have with us their daughter today. Hi.
Hi, Doug.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good. I'm so glad you came in to talk about your mom and dad and what they meant to our community. I guess the best place to start, and I think, and it's no disrespect, of course, to your dad, but I guess your mom probably was a little bit more well-known because she was more involved in the workplace, in the community, than maybe he was. But let's start with Bill and talk a little bit about him. Now, I think the Reynolds family has been around this county for quite some time.
Daddy was born and raised out in Pollard.
Now, who was his parents?
His parents were Dora and Coy Reynolds.
You're named after your grandmother then. Okay.
Yeah. Both of them.
Okay. Oh, really? Oh, okay.
My middle name's Catherine, and my mom's was Catherine.
Okay. All right. So, out in the Pollard area.
Mm-hmm.
And did he have brothers and sisters?
Yeah. He had two sisters that lived. Had a couple babies that died, but Margaret Osten and Plina Wingard. Were his sisters.
Do you know, I was in scouts with Kevin Wingard and George, I guess, too, and his dad, Bob, was a scoutmaster.
Right.
And her, she worked at the nursing home with your mom. I never knew she was your dad's sister.
Right.
Wow, I never knew that.
And she is still with us. She's
Is she really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, so he was out of Pollard, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
What? Tell us a little bit about his schooling, I guess, maybe his early life before he met your mom.
Just river folk.
Yeah.
Went to school at the local school and fished the river, him and his dad and his grandfather, Lindsay Reynolds, and just country folk.
Farmers?
Yeah, somewhat.
Yeah.
To a degree, yeah.
Now, isn't there still a big Reynolds cemetery down there?
At Kissing Ridge is where our family cemetery is.
Yeah.
The Mose Reynolds.
Yeah.
There's another Reynolds one out that way, too, and I'm sure there's some connection family-wise.
Right,
but
right.
Mose Reynolds is where our immediate family is.
Okay. All right. Well, prior to meeting your mom, let's switch over and kind of get her up to date. Tell us who her parents were.
Her parents were Walter Cap Allison and Anna Catherine Allison, Anna Kay, from Wilmore. Mom was born in 43 and simple country folk.
Just, yeah. You know. Now, your grandmother, she was Wells. Is that correct?
Right.
Sister Billy Wells.
Mm-hmm.
So what year was Sharon born?
43.
43.
November the 4th.
Now, she went through Nicholsville High?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I assume she went on to college.
Yeah, she went on to be a nurse. She was an LPN. Mm-hmm.
Did she always kind of want to do that? Do you know?
She was always into the helping side of the nursing.
Yeah. Now, what would have been her first job? I know for years she worked for Dr. Williams.
Before that, she was at St. Joe.
Oh, was she?
And that's when they first delivered babies.
Yeah.
Or when they were still delivering babies.
Yeah.
And she actually, the day that she delivered me, worked on the floor because her labor stalled. So she was delivering babies or helping deliver babies. The day I was born.
And, you know, I laugh, but that doesn't surprise me.
No.
Knowing her and the way, yes, she was, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
So she was a nurse. Now, before we go too far into her career, how did her and Bill Reynolds hook up?
The infamous restaurant, George's Drive-In.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, for some of us people that are new to the community, we sometimes have to reference where we're talking about. Across from the current Jessamine County Board of Education, there is a building now that houses an insurance agency. Mm-hmm. And that, folks, was known as George's Restaurant. But before it was George's Restaurant, it was built by a fellow named Hayden Lane. Hayden Lane, also, they had the nursing home.
Right, at one time.
At one time, that which was, your mother went on to run.
That was before mom,
of. Right.
Yeah.
So it's really funny how it all connects in there. So those two met at George's Restaurant, which was the big place to meet.
Right.
In fact, it was probably the only place to meet, really.
Yep.
And then George's. And was it, have you ever heard a story? Was it, you know, first?
I'm trying to remember. There was a couple that they were friends with that introduced them.
Mm-hmm.
Her name was Dora Bruner.
Yeah.
And I cannot for life me remember her husband's name. But they introduced mom and dad.
Yeah.
And it just blew
and it
from
just
there.
From there. Mm-hmm. What year would that have been?
Oh, my. They got married in 65. I'd guesstimate 63, maybe.
She's already nursing at this point.
Right.
Now, what was he doing?
He was gearing up to go to the military.
Oh, is that right?
After they got married, he immediately got sent off. He was stationed in Austin, Texas, so they got
Army.
Married and moved to Austin, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he went to Korea during peacetime.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she was here?
Yep. Well, she was in Austin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Did she nurse while she was down there?
I don't think so. I think they got pregnant pretty quickly with my oldest sister.
All right. So we've got them married now. And at that time, let's get them back to Kentucky.
Okay.
They come back to Kentucky. Does she go back to nursing at that point?
I believe that's when she was introduced to Dr. Williams.
Now, Dr. Williams, who we have done a show on before with his son, Coke.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Williams, a very prolific doctor in this town that was known, I guess, for a lot of things, but especially for the fact that he delivered, gosh, I think Coke said 4,000 something babies in his time.
Yep.
And I'm sure your mom helped with a lot of those. His office was down here on West Oak Street, which, folks, for that reference, it is the big brick building between Hager and Cunda Funeral Home and Central Bank, where it is now off Main Tumbling. Mm-hmm. At one time, it was City Hall was in there. There was a doctor's office, Williams. There was a Charlie Grimes had a barber shop. That's where that was.
Right.
So was she nursed there, I guess, then with Grimes, Ethel Grimes?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And she, do you know how long she was there? I mean, she was there quite a while, wasn't she?
I do not know an exact.
I remember her talking about when we, a couple years ago, the group that was involved with putting the new stone down for Joe Pelman. And I remember your mom talking about him coming in there to get his toenails clipped.
Mm-hmm.
And she, I think, even made the comment she just didn't know how that man lived as long as he did because he really didn't take good care of himself.
That's the only reason he ever came into Dr. Williams' office, from
was
what
for
I
that
understand.
Reason.
Mm-hmm.
So she worked there for quite a while. Did she go any other office? Or hospital prior to?
There was a crossover in time where she worked at Dr. Williams's and at the nursing home.
Okay.
But I don't know exactly how long that crossover lasted.
Now, that Rose Terrace is where we're talking about, which was around the corner and right down the street. When she started there, was she just like a staff nurse?
I believe so, and then worked her way up to administrator.
Yeah. Now, somewhere along this time, they decide to start family.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us, kids, and whatever you want to tell me.
My oldest sister, Michelle, who was born in 66, I think. And then dad had a daughter from a previous marriage, Mary, who was born in 69. So between, or no, excuse me, 63. So between 1966 and me being born in 74, we had a family of three.
Okay. All right. Three girls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you were in 74.
Mm-hmm.
What have you been doing? We'll go over to you for a minute. Tell us a little bit about what you've been doing.
Currently a nurse.
Yeah.
I followed mom's footsteps. I work in public health here at the health department in Jessamine County. I'm a mom myself, with a 10-year-old and a 16-month-old, and it's happy as lark.
Did you, growing up, always know that's what you wanted to do?
No, growing up, I was going to be coroner.
Oh, what she did, and we're going to get into that in just a moment. But I guess nursing was just a natural thing.
It was kind of like, I felt like I knew enough about nursing that I really didn't want to get into it. I'll be honest with you, growing up.
Oh, yeah?
Because I'd heard so much of the problems mom ran into as a nurse.
Right.
But when I decided to go back to school when I was 30 years old, I tried to go into radiology and just called mom one day. I said, Mom, what would you think if I went into nursing? And I heard the phone hit the floor. And I heard mom cry. She said, go do it. Yes, please.
Oh, it made her happy. Mm-hmm. She was just waiting for you to come about that. So at some point in time, because you mentioned you wanted to be coroner, she decided to be coroner. Mm-hmm. Now, coroner is elected office. Mm-hmm. And as far as I know, up until the point she became coroner, the only females that had been elected to anything in this county, maybe Mildred Bunch, I think, was a magistrate from down in that area of the country. What year was she coroner?
1980.
There was a lady named Gwen Henson who was a city commissioner. I don't remember when that was. It might have been after Sharon. But my point is that at that point in time, there really was not female elected officials in Jessamine County. It just didn't happen. And all of a sudden, Sharon... not only decides to go for an elected office, she goes for one of the major ones in our community that had been held by a lot of different folks. Mm-hmm. Now, at that point in time, the guy's name was Mulkey. Pappy, everybody called him.
Pappy Mulkey.
And he was running. He was not a medical person by any means. In fact, he ran a furniture store down by the old NVL radio station.
Mm-hmm.
And he was coroner. I can't remember some of the names other than that. But in the past, years and years and years before that, a lot of the times your coroner was related sometime to funeral homes.
It
was the director or embalmer or whatever. What made your mom decide in 1980? You don't know?
I have no idea. I don't know if that's something she aspired to or it just somebody came to her and said, why don't you? I have no idea.
Well, she won rather handily.
Right.
Because, and the fact of the matter is, folks, you know, Sharon had already been in this community.
Mm-hmm.
The family had been there, plus your dad's.
Right.
Not just hers, but your dad's was well known.
Mm-hmm.
She had no telling how many people that voted at that time. She had delivered babies for or maybe delivered them.
Or even pierced their children's ears. That was a big thing at Dr. Williams' office.
So she had a lot of people who knew Sharon Reynolds in a lot of ways.
Right.
And she won very big. Now, she won in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
I want to fast forward for a minute, and then we'll go back.
Mm-hmm.
At the point in time that she had her stroke, which was
1995. Mm-hmm.
The day prior, I worked at that time at Hager & Cundy Funeral Home, and that the day before, and folks, across the street from that funeral home, there is now an empty parking lot. Well, there used to be a big brick building. Years and years ago, it was a parachute factory. There was a roller rink upstairs. Before it was torn down, it was the Jessamine County Fire Department, but in the end is where the coroner's office was. We saw her a lot, and the day before she was at the funeral home, she just stopped in to say hi. Myself, Ellistine Hager, stayed on her quite often that she was pushing herself too hard. Mom smoked a lot.
She
wore herself out. She stressed a lot. I know that because she told me,
and
you know it because you lived it.
Mm-hmm.
And we told her, you're going to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing she wouldn't, because she never did.
Right.
Now, at that time, she was still in the nursing home, plus she was coroner. Now, folks, at that time, coroner was 24/7 for every funeral home, everybody in the world.
She only had one deputy.
One deputy. And there wasn't a hospice necessarily to do a lot of the pronouncing like there is now and stuff. She had to do it all.
Right.
Whether it was a car wreck. Or a fire or a drowning or someone that died at their home from cancer. She had to be at all of those.
Right.
So it was 24/7.
Right. And so was the nursing home.
If
something happened in the middle of the night, she had to go.
Well, the next day, I get the call that Sharon has had a stroke. And that just changed everything, didn't it?
Yeah.
Tell us a little about that.
You know, Mom was always a goer. She didn't want to stop. She didn't want to, didn't want to listen to nobody. That's Mom. I'm not saying a bad thing about her. Everybody in the world knows Mom knows that.
Yeah. You're a very strong woman.
Right. The one thing that put her down with this stroke, and she was Christian. She still is Christian, I hope, in heaven. The Lord stopped her. That's what she'd tell you. She said, I couldn't stop myself, so he stopped me.
And did.
She
got quite confused in the days after that stroke.
Yeah.
I got a call. At that time, I was city commissioner, as a matter of fact, with being the funeral home. And I got a call from Neil Cassidy, who was county judge. And he said, I need you to go see Sharon at the hospital. Joe Walker's going with you. She has got it in her mind that the only way she'll not be coroner is if you take it. I couldn't do that because I was city commissioner. And so I did went and saw her. And we finally got her to understand that it couldn't happen, although I was honored that she would even think of that. But I guess there for a little bit, the confusion of the stroke, finally, though, she came around and she got to thinking clear and realized that this is it.
Right.
And as it was,
well, now, to be completely honest with you, the first stroke that she had was minor, and she had every possibility of continuing the coroner's
coming
office,
back.
But 2 weeks later, she had a big one.
The big one hit.
And that was a definite, no, yeah. You have to retire.
Yeah, so. Yeah. But you know the thing is, she didn't give up.
Oh, no, no,
now,
no, no.
How many years was it after she had her strokes that she died?
22.
22 years. That's amazing.
And plus, she had a broken hip in that time, and she also had a quadruple bypass heart surgery in that time.
Wow.
In 22 years.
And every step of the way, Bill Reynolds took mm-hmm. care of her.
Yep, he was sole care provider for 22 years.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing that I remember the most about your mom as coroner, Sharon knew her stuff. She knew how to do it. She knew how to do it right. But, and I remember, I think, saying this on Facebook when she died. She had the compassion to go with it. And I think that's what made Sharon so successful, is the fact that, and I've walked into many homes where she's already there. She has made the pronouncement. They're waiting for the funeral home to come and get the body. And you walk in. Sharon has done all of her professional work, and she is now sitting at the kitchen table with her arm around that widow, consoling them.
Doing the emotional work.
Exactly. And I'll tell you what, I think Sharon could have gotten reelected based on her professional work, but that right there is what capped it all for people. Because this woman, she did her job, but she cared.
Right. She did.
And it wasn't a put on. That's the thing I liked about Sharon. It wasn't a show. It wasn't done just so I could get a vote. It was done because she cared.
I agree.
Yeah. Was she that way in everything?
Yeah.
Nursing home?
So.
And
definitely. The old folks that she had at the nursing home when she worked there were family.
Yeah.
You know, if something happened to one of them, she was right on it. And it wasn't because she had to. She wanted to.
Right.
I can remember growing up, this is kind of a weird story, I was terrified of storms growing up. And if there was a tornado warning in Jasmine County, being administrator of the nursing home, mom had to make sure that the residents were safe.
Right.
She didn't have to go down there, but she always did. And she said, Dorkay, come with me. Help me down there. Next time we have to go down there for a tornado warning. And maybe we won't be so scared anymore. So I went with her, and I helped with the patients, and I sat and talked to the ones who were, you know, a little confused about what was going on. And it just turned me around. I love storms now. But she didn't have to go down there.
Yeah.
But she did, because they were family.
And she treated that people that way, as far as I saw, everybody.
Anybody.
Like that. Pretty amazing woman. Now, 22 years, that 22 ended last year.
December 18th. She went to sleep.
The way she would have wanted to go.
Dad was with her. They had just had lunch. She had an infection set up in her foot about mid-August, September last year, and was in and out of the hospital and in and out of rehabilitations. Finally got her to DiversaCare here in town. And was on the mend, and we had arrangements and plans for her to come home. Well, being so close every day, Dad felt like he needed to be at lunch at least. So he'd go down there and eat lunch with her. That day, he went and ate lunch, and they talked a little bit, and she said, Bill, I'm tired. I'm going to take a nap. He sat down in the chair beside the bed, took a nap himself, woke up 45 minutes later with somebody saying she's not breathing.
Wow.
And she just laid her head on the pillow and went to sleep. That's how she always said she wanted to do it.
In a way that most of us probably would want to do it.
Right. Exactly.
But again, for 22 years, that woman fought hard.
And never stopped.
And never stopped. And that was the thing, is that, and I understand, some people have strokes, they have no choice but to be bedbound or whatever. But, I mean, even after the stroke, I mean, she'd get on her little walker and go to auctions and do all this stuff.
She was still walking up until July of last year. And rehab was still coming in. Physical therapies were coming in up until July when she got that infection in her foot. That was the last one.
But she kept occupied, involved in politics. I know she loved to be involved in politics.
She's probably enjoying this coming one.
Yes.
There's a lot of people running. That's what she liked. She liked to see a lot of people on the ballot.
Yeah.
And she's probably having a ball with this one.
Yeah. So as a daughter, as a daughter, give me a word or two to describe Sharon Reynolds. If you right now were told to go to her gravesite and engrave maybe three words on her stone, what would you pick?
Stubborn.
Boy, it didn't take you long for that.
No, I'm just like her.
I understand.
I am just like her. So not only am I describing her in some of these aspects, me
okay.
too.
Okay.
Compassionate.
Yeah.
And probably loving.
Yeah.
There's a difference between compassion and loving.
Right.
And I would say the loving part was the biggest out of all the three.
Yeah.
Because she loved her family. Yeah. She loved her community. And there wasn't too many people that Mom couldn't get along with.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And you're right about the community. I mean, I don't know that you could have ever, for any amount of money, took her away from Jess McKenna, Kentucky.
No. I remember one time she went on a vacation, and this is kind of when the nursing home got paid off.
Yeah.
The owner of the nursing home sent her and some other employees higher up to the Bahamas.
Oh, yeah.
On a cruise. And she said, I was never so glad to get back home to Jasper County in all my life.
Wow.
So, no. You couldn't have taken her out long. You might have taken her out for a week or two.
But not long.
But not long. Mm-mm.
Let's talk a little about the man who deserves a lot of crown, stars in his crown, as my grandmother Roar would say, for taking care of her, and that's your dad, Bill.
Yeah.
I guess Bill, basically, 22 years, that was just his life, wasn't it?
Right.
Was taking care of her.
24/7, yeah. And he fussed about it. He fussed about things. They argued.
Sure.
But
you're
married. Yeah, you can't find a couple that's been married for 53 years that doesn't argue.
Well, that's right.
So,
that's right.
They had their moments, but then they had their loving moments.
Yeah.
They just day to day, doctor visits or this and that and the other, and he kept on. And
yeah.
Just did what they needed to do.
What three words would you put on his?
Stubborn.
So they were just alike in that regard, I guess.
Yeah, and I think that's what drew them to each other. They were too much alike.
Yeah.
Loving, and a lot of people wouldn't see that out of Dad, but I have seen it since December.
Yeah.
And let's see.
Yeah, because Bill's pretty, before you see your third one, he's a pretty reserved guy.
Right.
He's a quiet fella. Right. Always has been, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bill, he stood in the background. Sharon was the one out in front.
Right, and he knew that.
Yeah.
Of course, Dad's not the type of person that would walk into a room full of 100 people and feel comfortable.
Right.
You know, some people would, some people wouldn't.
And she did.
Mom loved it.
Yeah, but he didn't.
And the third one probably with Dad, creative. And I'm going to say creative because there were so many things that he did to help Mom in her transition of like learning to walk again and learning to eat again. I mean, it was that bad. She had to learn how to walk and eat and speak and everything.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many things that he did put together to help her, little implements or, you know, steps or something.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a very creative person.
It's amazing. And of course, they both had some shared loves, antiques, and things like that you talked about them being stubborn and being alike and all that. But they shared a lot of interest together. Although I don't know that he ever really got involved in the politics like she did. But
he did when she was running.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He would, you know, do his part to electioneer for her. Yeah.
She ran, you said, in 1980. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess she became coroner in 80. Would she have run in 79 to come 80 or 80, whatever?
I don't know.
But how many years did you say it was?
Until 95.
95.
So 15 years.
So she ran four elections, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Did she ever have opposition, other than the first one with Pappy? She ran.
Yes, there was, and I can't remember his name.
Okay.
She had opposition, I want to say twice.
Did she?
I know one for sure.
Yeah. But it was not a problem at all. And would have continued to be corner.
Oh, yeah.
I think Sharon could have been corner as long as she wanted it.
She told me since the strokes, you know, before she got real bad off and passed away, that if she could have physically done it, she'd have done it the rest of her life as long as the residents of Jessamine County elected her.
Yeah.
She loved it.
Yeah, she did.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a stressful thing. And I don't want to demean or to belittle the current coroner's job in any county in our state. But because of what they have to do now compared to what they had to do then. I was telling you about when she had her stroke and was talking about being coroner. At that time, 1995, the coroner had a little office down here on Oak Street.
Mm-hmm.
She had a blue van that the county gave her that probably had 400,000 miles on it or more. And at that time, I never will forget this, the coroner made $8,400 a year.
Yeah.
Now, folks, if you want to divide that out by 12 and take out taxes, you can realize really quick, and then divide that by 24/7, what little money she was making. In fact, knowing her and what she put in, it probably cost her money.
Probably.
She got some supplies, I guess, from the county. I don't know if she had everything she needed, but she got some. But it's different now. It's different now with every coroner in our state. It's different in that their budgets are bigger. They have better equipment. Right. They have hospice to help them. They have doctors. They have all of that. They have deputies, three or four maybe, and five or more. I mean, Fayette County, of course, that's a big town, but no telling how many people are on staff there in that one.
Well, your deputies are dependent on the population.
Exactly. But Sharon and who was her deputy?
I knew you were going to ask me that.
I can't remember either. And not to belittle them, but Sharon was the coroner. And she did it all.
I think Joe Northrup was.
Joe may have at one time. Yeah. Gene Royalty did for a little while. But Sharon still, 95%.
I mean, I would even say 99%.
Maybe
the only time the deputy was called was when mom was out of town. And the only time she went out of town was coroner's conventions. Maybe her and dad go to Bowling Green to the Corvette Museum one night.
That was the only time.
The woman actually had a case during my rehearsal for my wedding and went. So, you know. I harbor no ill will. I'm fine with that because I knew that she, that was important to her.
Just,
you know, and I had it covered. We had it covered. She was good.
Well, and I think I can say this truthfully, and I hope that when your husband, your dad hears this broadcast, he will agree with the statement I'm about to make. Sharon Reynolds did not do anything she did for the money, for the fame. She did it because she loved it.
Right.
Period.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Yeah. She was a good lady. Well, I appreciate our time is up, and I appreciate you coming in. Shed a little bit of light about the life of Sharon and Bill Reynolds.
Doug, before we go, I'd like to say thank you to the community because in Mom's obituary, we put for, instead of flowers, to send money to the Wingo Missions. As of 2 months ago, they had received $4,628.
Really?
In Mom's name. So thank you.
Yes. Tell a little bit about that, if you can.
About Wingo?
Yeah, yeah.
It's run by a group of ladies. It's a missionary group. Used to be what you may have heard in the church is Lottie Moon.
Yes.
It's now Wingo Missions.
Didn't they do a lot of work in China?
I'm not
I think
sure.
At that time, I remember some of it. But yeah, it's a missions overseas mission.
A lot of people will know these two names.
Yes.
Rachel Arnold.
Oh, yeah.
Who is the treasurer.
And then, who has worked for Kroger for ever and ever.
And then Winnie Yunker.
Oh, yes, of course.
She is a part of it. I don't know if she's president, vice president, whatever.
Yeah.
But when I called Winnie to ask her if I could put that in the obituary, she was just flabbergasted. Mom religiously sent that lady $100 a month at least.
Wow.
And it was something that Mom was passionate about.
Right.
So,
and over 4,600. Well, great. But, and I know that money will be put to some good use.
Yeah.
Sharon Reynolds was a special lady. I am sir. And Bill, your dad is, he's a special guy too.
He had to put up with her.
Yeah, he did. He did. And I used to aggravate her. Oh, I used to aggravate her. She'd come in that walker, especially after a stroke. She'd have her walker and she'd show up. And if I happened to be there when she got out of the car, I'd grab her walker and she had a little change purse that she'd carry with her in her little basket, and I'd grab it and I'd say, let me see how much money I can get out of this today. You better leave that alone, Doug Fain, you know. And it was just so much fun to be able to have that banner with her.
And she always liked you.
Yeah, we got along really well.
You were the son that her and daddy never had, I think.
She was a good lady, and he is to certainly be commended, because I'm going to tell you, when you say I do, your intentions are very good, that you will do everything. But there's a lot of guys who don't. Your daddy did. He fulfilled that.
For 53 years.
And wish him the best and his health, and hope he does okay. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Doug, for bringing me.
My thanks to Dora for coming in this morning and sharing about her parents, Bill and Cheryl Reynolds, and what they meant to our community. My thanks to you for coming on also. We'll do it again next Saturday morning. Don't forget my regular show every weekday morning from 6 until 8. We get you up and going here at Jess FM 105.9.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.